Hey guys, it's Jamise, and I'm back with another episode of the Letting Go of Perfectionism podcast. And I want to first just start out by saying, how many of us know that we can use our words as a weapon against ourselves? And I think that so many of us do unknowingly. I know that just now I was literally writing what I wanted to say down. And then I thought back to how I've literally been speaking into my phone, into my notes section, and converting what I'm saying into text. And then Holy Spirit gave me a revelation that, girl, we are podcasting. So podcast, grab the mic and speak into it and stop writing all this stuff down that will never see the light of day because you literally didn't record the podcast episode. And so I almost, well, no, I definitely said it. I said, you know how you say you're sick of something, but I don't want to declare that over me. By every stripe God took, my body is healed. So, no, I am choosing to do different and choosing to do better. At my book event in California back in March of this year, 2024, I did this call and response with the audience. I said, progress makes what? And they said, perfect. I said, wrong. It makes progress. And then I said, if you know better, you what? And they said, do better. And I said, wrong. If you know better, you get the chance to choose to do better the next time you get the opportunity. And so there are just these different misconceptions we have and just these different sayings and colloquial ways of referring to things that are a bit limiting and a bit untrue. And yeah, it was cool to just highlight that. But for today's episode, I want to maybe focus in on a career topic, career cl clarity, career job searches, and just share what things I've learned over the past few weeks and give myself some kudos. So the kudos I had in mind was to congratulate myself on the user experience research career that I've had, UX research. I was looking at some notes and like whiteboard exercises that I did when I was focusing on my transition from contracting in UX research to becoming a full-time researcher. That made me think about the fact that I literally transitioned from financial services to tech as a user experience researcher by title and not just by the type of work that I was doing. And I just was like, wow, that's huge. That is amazing. That's monumental, like changing entire jobs, careers. And then I was looking at all the sticky notes on there of the action steps that I took and the tasks that were required. Like one of them said, ask researchers if they're burnt out, ask them what their research process is. Just all these like different questions. And yeah, it's just interesting. So maybe I'll take a step back and talk you guys through the career clarity exercise that I'm going through. So, Dorian St. Four over at Your Career Girl, also known as Dorian St. Four Consulting, she has a course that I have gone through before live with her, and now I'm going through it in a self-guided way. But she provided some really helpful information. Just the fact that we think that in order to reach a goal, we should first take action and then we will reach the goal and finally feel how we want to feel. And she challenges us to flip that in reverse. So instead of starting with the action first, get crystal clear on what you want and get your mind right. Well, really, no, it's like get your mind right first. Before you seek clarity, get your mind right first. So, Eliminating beliefs, in this case, career limiting beliefs and fixed mindset way of thinking. And maybe that's what this series will be. We'll just be like checking back in with you guys on how that's going. But I had conversations with a recruiter today, and it just really demonstrated what I already knew, which was the importance of having that mindset piece down. So there's this work and exercise that we do around eliminating limiting career beliefs. And so a limiting career belief you could have is that the job market is bad, and so there are fewer jobs out there, and it's going to be harder, if not impossible, for you to find a job. That is a career limiting belief. To make a, like, was it blanket statement and say the market is bad. I think that that kind of demonstrates the misunderstanding that folks even have about the stock market, and how, like, the stock market, it has different industries and different sectors. And when we diversify our investment portfolio and we invest in broad markets, funds that have technology, media, manufacturing, marketing, all the different industries that there are, business, finance, law, it's like to say that the market is down is to try and say that all these verticals and all these industries are underperforming their benchmarks. And when you look across the performance, you just see that it is not true. Something as simple as opening the stock app on your phone and just browsing through all the individual stocks, you'll see some green and you'll see some red. And I doubt that you'll ever see all red with no green, because that is the antithesis of diversification. That is meaning everything is literally moving in the same direction, which markets tend not to do. Things that benefit or are not beneficial to one market can be beneficial to another. Or just go and move, whatever the case. But like real estate, or I don't know, I can't pinpoint specific examples. We can maybe come back in a future episode to do a deeper dive on this. But the principle of diversification and not putting all your eggs in one basket helps us to understand that the blanket statement that the job market is bad or that the stock market is bad is just not true. Certain markets can underperform at a certain time. I mentioned that to say that that is a one example of a limiting belief. It's a fixed thought. It's not rooted in complete truth. Another could be, if I don't get this opportunity, there won't be other opportunities. Or if, here's a good one. If you don't know exactly what you want to do today, then figuring it out later will either be too late, or on top of that, something's wrong with you and you'll never figure out what you want to do and you'll never get clarity on your path forward. So those types of limiting beliefs, when we engage in limiting beliefs and negative thoughts, what they end up doing is creating stress in our minds and in our bodies. I think in a previous episode, I even talked about the bear chasing you in the was it in the woods? Like your body's response naturally can start to think like, "Oh my God, like you're under attack, run, there's a bear chasing you." Even though we're not living in those primitive times, and you could live in a major city where there's no trace of a bear, when you go through your daily stressful activities, or activities that create stress for you, that is the response that your body is having internally. And so, as I've done the exercise, oh boy, as I did the eliminating career limiting beliefs exercise, I found that I was loaded with limiting beliefs. I don't have the list of limiting beliefs before me, but just know that the list was long. And there's just these series of questions that you answer, like, what does holding on to this belief keep you from accomplishing and doing ultimately, or even what does what's creating this resistance? What would happen if you stop resisting this? Or even like, I don't know, what could you replace it with? Or what's the truth here? What evidence do you have that this limiting belief is actually not true? And so there's just these great series of questions I was able to go through. And honestly, it got to a point where I went back and I looked at the exercise, and like 10 days later, I didn't even recognize what I wrote. I was like, who wrote this? Not who wrote it, but like, I can't even identify, or none of this resonates with me anymore. And that's a good thing. None of the limiting beliefs resonated with me anymore. I didn't believe the limiting things that I thought before. Like, one thing that had me in a chokehold was like reorgs that happened at work, and like a new manager that I got immediately after I started, and just like things that are just completely outside of my control. And so in therapy over like the last year, I would say we worked on different DBT concepts like radical acceptance and dialectical thinking, where two things can be true at once, and like distress tolerance and emotion regulation and mindfulness and grounding. And there are all these tools and techniques that I've added to my toolbox as a result of that experience that I had, where you're literally in a situation you cannot predict, cannot control, cannot change, because the only thing you could change is you. So like, even if you change by leaving or, transferring, it's like however you feel. You know how people say they feel a type of way? I encourage folks to get very specific about how they feel. And that reminds me of the emotion wheel that has the names of the emotions on it. But you could feel disappointed, you could feel upset, you could feel angry, discouraged. I also don't have the emotion wheel in front of me, but there are these many different emotions that I was feeling, and it was necessary not only to feel the emotions, but to let the emotions come, to let them flow, to let them be released, acknowledged. But then, as I talked about at my book event, at the book launch celebration, it is actually very important to identify our limiting beliefs and our negative self-talk. But what's even more important, powerful, and necessary is to identify what we would use to replace that with, especially as we are starting to identify and remove them, and before and after. So the analogy I gave is that a software company or an app would never take what you're currently using that's outdated and has bugs in it, and then tell you, look, this is no good, it's old, it's outdated, let's swap it out, let's get you an update. But just wait while I go get that update for you. I don't have it yet, but I'm going to take this old system out. You just hang tight. Like, they would never just leave you suspended in the air with nothing, right? Because when you're suspended in the air like that, it causes you to panic, to be afraid, to fear falling, to fear failing. And now you want to like grip onto something. And so your natural like neural path is set up to have you go back to the most recent thing you did or used. And so, as you go back to the most recent thing that you did or the most recent thing that you used, it's that outdated thing. But it's hard to blame yourself for doing it if you don't have a replacement in place. And so, yeah, the exercise helped me to eliminate those career limiting beliefs by finding evidence that disproved what I was believing. So now I could grab hold to the truthful evidence that was rooted in more liberating beliefs, and that was rooted in the actual truth instead of the false limiting belief that was, you know, holding me back and stuff. And so that exercise is really good. And the highlight, I would say, of it all was this. There are these particular beliefs that Dorianne walks us through, and she says, you know, these six career beliefs, you have them. One of them you may have heard me share before is all of my experiences matter. All of them, not some of them, every single last one of them matter. And I believe that. I didn't have trouble believing that. I feel like I recited it throughout most of my career in tech and in UX research. But then the last one on there was that I can be me. This belief that you can be yourself, like you don't have to change who you are. And while I had trouble internalizing and believing all the beliefs at first because I felt some resistance, I was eventually able to revisit the beliefs and not have any resistance with all except one. And this was the one: I can be me. And I was reading my Bible. I was in the book of John, and I was reminded of how Jesus wept and times when he wept and reasons why he wept. And I found myself weeping. And I thank God for examples of people in the Bible who expressed their emotions and allowed tears to fall and weeping to happen when they felt those emotions. Because I was weeping when I realized that, and hear me out, I cannot be me. And here's what I mean by that. As someone who has undergone one of the most major spiritual growth periods I've probably ever gone through in my entire life, different from an emotional awakening or a mental awakening and consciousness, like physical transformation, this was a spiritual transformation that I went through. And to say that I came out of it the exact same person that I was is just not true. The me I am today is a different version of me than I was before. The me I was in financial services is not the same me I was as I left financial services. In fact, the last job I had in financial services, I was still in that job, which was an old job, but I had already become the new me. So when I stepped out of that job, I stepped into my purpose and I stepped into my future, and my body was able to physically catch up with my mind because my mind was already there. And so as I think about these future me's, these future versions of me, often what it ends up requiring is some shedding of some version of you, some habits. And with that shed comes the analogy I gave about replacing. You're replacing old behaviors with new ones. You're replacing old, outdated tools with new ones. And so, unlike the previous version of yourself that was passive aggressive, now you've moved to assertive. And there were a lot of steps in between that. It took being passive aggressive, it took being passive. Maybe it even took being a little aggressive. And then you finally made your way to that final stage of being assertive, only after discovering that that was an option. Because how many of us know there are four different communication styles? I didn't know. I even recorded a little TikTok video on Instagram Reels. I think it was last year, doing a dance like, "I'm gonna feel like this." That one. I didn't know. All this time, I was just flailing in the air, looking for something to replace passive aggressive and sarcasm with, and had nothing until 2020. Was it 2023? I was introduced to DBT and mindfulness and the four communication styles. So, yeah, y'all. And I can probably link those resources, at least the link to the four communication styles, because that's super crucial and critical. But I'm starting to get the sense that that was all that Holy Spirit wanted me to share here today. I'll wrap up by saying this. I can be me, but the me I'm referring to is the me I am today, not the me I used to be. And I'm so excited that I got the revelation to get on here and record this episode, especially because changes to the platform are coming down the pipeline very soon. But I'll be taking a trip to Chicago soon. And yeah, I'll be continuing my efforts and working through the assignments in the career program, and I'll be excited to report back what I get from this next week. Actually, let me just say this. Week zero was about writing your quit letter, and I need to go back and look at my quit letter and see what I wrote. Slash, I feel like I didn't even finish it. And who am I even saying goodbye to? Do I say goodbye to corporate as a whole? Do I just say goodbye to my UX research job? Do I say goodbye to UX research as a career? That's what we're working on. That's what we're working on getting clear on. And I'm believing God to help me get clear on it. And okay, let me just give you this one last rundown and then I promise to wrap. Okay, so I'm going to just say this. I'm going to say product marketing manager. I'm going to say district manager in training, product marketing manager, rotation program, UX research in retail. And I'll just throw QA in there just for fun. But we'll save those for a future episode when I come back to report on how God has answered my prayers and done what I was believing him to do for me. So I'm wishing you well. Stay well, stay blessed, stay healthy, continue to pour from your overflow, and I will catch you all in the next episode.